I want to thank you all for coming out to encourage me tonight in this lesson, and I hope that I can bring something of encouragement to you. I thank the elders for asking me to do this. I thank the men who presented lessons before me for their good example. And most of all, we thank God who brings us all together as one family. In this series entitled The God of Man's Blessedness, we've had four outstanding lessons presented by men of this congregation. We've heard blessed by a loving God from Psalms 8, the foundation of man's eternal blessedness, the resurrection of Christ, starting at Psalms 16 and 17, the cost to God in blessing man eternally from Psalm 22 and 23, and the heart of God who blesses mankind from Psalms 103. Each of these lessons was meticulously prepared and skillfully delivered for your consideration. I cannot promise to be as skillful in my presentation as these men have done. It's my hope tonight to bring another facet of this wonderful subject. It's therefore my goal to help all of us to increase our faith in God as we consider how supremely loving He is and how we, His creation, must approach Him. The God of mankind's blessedness, the response to God of those who would be blessed by Him. And it's going to go... I'm not getting a change, Larry. Well, it's not responding at all on this. There it goes. Hopefully it won't keep responding. I pushed it several times. Okay. From Psalms 100, verses 1 through 5, and all verses tonight will be from the American Standard Version. This is a psalm of thanksgiving. It's also known as a psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endureth to all generations. There's a wealth of information in Psalm 100. Information which should motivate everyone who reads it to want to know more and to act on it. In preparing this lesson, honestly, I had to think about the assigned title. What does the response to God of those who would be blessed by Him mean? Well, response is an action we must do. Why? Because we want something. That is, to be blessed by Him. So in order for me to respond to God, I have to do it in His own way. I need to approach Him as He instructs and not leave anything out. Our response is guided by our attitude, and our attitude is guided by our knowledge of, one, who God is, and two, what He wants. God is Creator and Sovereign. As Paul said in Acts 17, 24 through 26, the God that made the world and all things therein, He, being Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Acts 17, 25, neither is He served by men's hands as though He needed anything, seeing He Himself giveth to all life and breath and all things, and he made of one every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed seasons and the bounds of their habitation. He is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. God's love is not dependent on us. You can read in the example of Hosea and Gomer, which paralleled the relationship with God and Israel. Hosea had been instructed to take a wife of harlotry, and every time she strayed, he was commanded to bring her back, accept her back. And that was to show God's love, that he would take Israel back if she would return. God loved us first, and even though we stray, he still loves us and wants us to return to him. And his faithfulness is to all generations. What he wants is found in his word, his owner's manual, if you would. What should our response to God be but praise and thanks? Why? Because we want something. What do we want? We want blessings, specific things to help us and our loved ones, and the knowledge that God is there listening to us and watching over us so that he will save us. Save us from what? From hell. From eternal death caused by our sin. And that requires our obedience to him. Let's look at an example of what happens when we don't acknowledge him or thank him. In Romans 1, starting verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed a righteousness of God from faith unto faith. As it is written, but the righteous shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hinder the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known of God is manifest in them, for God manifested it unto them. For the invisible things of him, since the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made, even his everlasting power and divinity, that they may be without excuse. Because that knowing God, they glorified him not as God, neither gave thanks, but became vain in their reasonings, and their senseless heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God for the likeness of an image of corruptible man, and of birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts into uncleanness, that their bodies should be dishonored among themselves, for that they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile passions. For their women changed the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working unseemliness, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was due. And even as they refused to have God in their knowledge, God gave them up unto a reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, hateful to God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unmerciful, who knowing the ordinance of God that they that practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also consent with them that practice them. Unfortunately, you can see that most of that on the local evening news doesn't speak well of our society today. We used to say national news when we quoted this. It's local now. However, our response to the truth of God should be to shout joyfully to the Lord, serve Him with gladness, come before Him with joyful singing, enter His gates with thanksgiving, and enter His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. Now let's look at Psalm 100 verse by verse. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. The original word signifies a glad shout, such as loyal subjects give when their king appears among them. God should be worshipped by a happy people. A cheerful spirit is in keeping with His nature. We should show gratitude for His mercies in every land. God's goodness is seen in every land, so He should be praised in every land. The world should adore God with one unanimous shout. Make a joyful noise. The word used here is especially used of warlike shouts, as in Joshua 6:16 at the Battle of Jericho. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for Jehovah hath given you the city. And in 1 Samuel 17:20, when Israel faced Goliath, and David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the place of the wagons, as the host which was going forth to the fight shouted for battle. It could mean a shout of triumph, for the sound of a trumpet, as in Joel 2 and verse 1, blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of Jehovah cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Joyful noise can mean any shout of joy or praise. In public worship, it would mean praise of the most animated kind. The people made a joyful noise as Jesus made His triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Luke 19, verse 37. And as He was now drawing nigh, even the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works which they had seen. All ye lands, in Hebrew, all the earth. The idea in the psalm is that praise did not pertain to just one nation. It's not appropriate for only one people. It should not be confined to the Hebrew people. But that there was a proper ground of praise for all. And that all nations of all languages and conditions could unite. The fact that they all had one Creator. This psalm is based on the unity of the human race. And on the fact that there is one God and Father of all and one great family of the earth. Zechariah 14:9. For and Jehovah shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall Jehovah be one, and His name one. So make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, or all the earth. Means that all the inhabitants of the earth are called upon to shout unto Him as their King. Just as the angels did at His birth, that Jesus wrote, and as the disciples did when He made His public entrance into Jerusalem, and as both man and angel shall do when He shall descend from heaven to judge the world. Such a joyful noise or shout should be made unto Him as to a triumphant conqueror who's got the victory over sin, over Satan, over death, and the grave, and over every enemy of his and of his people. Serve the Lord with gladness. He is our Lord, and therefore he is to be served. He is our gracious Lord, and therefore to be served with joy. This invitation to worship is not sad or gloomy. It's not some funeral procession or scripted things that we must do and be very quiet and solemn. But it's cheerful. As though we were asked to a marriage feast. This worship should be freely rendered and an occasion of joy. The service of God is a source of the highest joy that man knows. Psalm 40 and verse 9. I have proclaimed glad tidings of righteousness in the great assembly. Lo, I will not refrain my lips. O Jehovah, thou knowest. I have not hid the righteousness within my heart, thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great assembly. And in Acts 2 and 46, and day by day continuing steadfastly with one accord in the temple and breaking bread at home, they took their food with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to them day by day those that were saved. Looking in Philippians 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Come before his presence with singing. This singing is both devout and at the same time joyful. It anticipates the worship we're going to have in heaven, that we will do in heaven, excuse me. One of our songs says, let those refuse to sing who never knew our God. The children of the heavenly King may speak their joys abroad. Ephesians 5:19, speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Matthew 26 and 30, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out unto the Mount of Olives. One commentary suggested that they were probably singing Psalms 113 and 114 at Passover. I don't know. But this, to me, Matthew 26:30, is one of the most important and touching of all scriptures in all the Bible. And I'll tell you why. It doesn't seem like it. When they had sung a hymn, they went out unto the Mount of Olives. Doesn't sound like a whole lot. But can you imagine singing with Jesus Christ in the same room, singing with him? How wonderful it had to be. Can you imagine what it's going to be like singing to him in person? When we surround the throne, singing to Jesus and God the Father and looking at them face to face and adoring them. And they are looking back at us. They look right as they pan the crowd, I can imagine. They look you in the eye. Can you imagine? Psalm 100 verse 3, know that the Lord, He is God. Our worship must be intelligent. We ought to know whom we worship and why. The phrase, know yourself, is considered a wise phrase. Yes. But to know God is true wisdom. And I think it's very questionable whether anyone can know themselves without first knowing God. He's the creator of all, and he's entitled to universal adoration. Deuteronomy 4:39, know therefore this day, and lay it to thy heart, But Jehovah, He is God in heaven, above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. John 17 and verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they should know Thee, the only true God, and Him whom Thou didst send, even Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God has come, and hath given us an understanding, that we know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. It's He that has made us, and not we ourselves. Shall not the creature reverence its maker? Some men live as if they made themselves. They call themselves self-made men. And they adore their supposed creators themselves. But Christians recognize the origin of our being and of our well-being, and we take no honor to ourselves. We're not self-created. We derive our being from Him, and that we, all that we have and are, we owe to God. Genesis 11, verse 1, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, come, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime they had they for mortar. And they said, come, let us build a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Stop. Do you remember when the towers fell? Of course you do. In New York City. And ever since then, they've been rebuilding a new tower, a taller tower. There's nothing wrong with that, but I think an awful lot of folks are claiming that as their identity. We're New Yorkers, we're Americans, look at how tall our buildings are, and we bounce back, and this is our name. And some of them have forgotten to thank God. Let us make a name for ourselves is the attitude in too many people's hearts. Genesis 11:5, and Jehovah came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And Jehovah said, behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing will be withholden from them which they purpose to do. Come, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So Jehovah scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore was the name of it called Babel, because Jehovah did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did Jehovah scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. The acknowledgement of our relationship to God in itself is praise. In Acts 17:28, in his speech on Mars Hill, Paul quoted the poet Aratus, who said, we are also his offspring. And the sheep of his pasture. As the shepherd owns the flock, so God is our owner. As the shepherd guards his flock and provides for it, so God guards us and provides for us. Remember, his Son is the good shepherd that has laid down his life for the sheep. John 10:14, I am the good shepherd, and I know mine own, and mine own know me. Even as the Father knoweth me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock with one shepherd. Excuse me. Let me back up a little here. Now, since we're His, we're welcomed into His worship. Yes, that's where I wanted to go. It's a quote from Tecumseh. When you rise in the morning, give thanks for the light, for your life, for your strength. Give thanks for your food and for the joy of living. If you see no reason to give thanks, the fault lies in yourself. Psalm 100 and verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Brethren, in all of our public service, the rendering of thanks must abound. Our giving thanks to God is like the incense of the temple, which filled the whole house with smoke. Animal sacrifices have ended, but the sacrifice of gratitude will never be out of date. So long as we are receivers of mercy, we must be givers of thanks. Mercy permits us to enter His gates. So let's praise Him for that mercy. Isaiah 35:10. And the ransomed of Jehovah shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Oh, and into His courts with praise. When you enter the court of the Lord, let the price of your admission be your praise. The cost to get in is to praise Him. Give thanks to God because the innermost court is now open to believers. So we must acknowledge that high privilege by our songs. Now, we'll go ahead. Be thankful unto Him for all things and at all times. Let the praise be in your heart as well as on your tongue, and let it be for Him to whom all belongs. Hebrews 13:15. Through Him, then, let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of lips which make confession to His name. In Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto God. And whatsoever ye do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. To God the Father through Him. And bless His name. He bless you, bless Him in return. Bless His name, His character, His person. Whatever He does, be sure that you bless Him for it. Bless Him when He takes away, as well as when He gives. Bless Him as long as you live, under all circumstances. Psalm 72:19, blessed be His glorious name forever. Psalm 145, a psalm of praise of David. I will extol Thee, my God, O King, and I will bless Thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless Thee, and I will praise Thy name forever and ever. For the Lord is good. This sums up His character and contains a mass of reasons for praise. He is good, gracious, kind, bountiful, loving. Yes, God is love. Consider that, though. The person who does not praise the good is not good himself. Like attracts light. His mercy is everlasting. God is not only about justice, stern and cold. He also has compassion and wants sinners to be saved. In John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And His truth endureth to all generations. There we go. God's not fickle. He doesn't make promises and then forget. In Titus 1, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time is eternal. And then Psalm 89, verse 1. We sing this song. I will sing of the loving kindness of Jehovah forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. He's entered into covenant with us. He'll never revoke it. In keeping with verse 1 of the psalm, we are filled with joy as we bow before one who has never broken His word or changed His purpose. In the early verses, God's claim to adoration is founded on the fact that He's the Creator and has, as such, a right to our service. In the later verse, the claim is asserted on account of His moral character, His benevolence, His mercy, His truth, the fact that He is a God of truth, and the fact that His truth endures, or that in all generations He shows Himself to be faithful to His promises. Rather than think of it, a being whose power is united with His goodness ought to be loved and is worthy of praise. Man is a sinner and needs pardon. He is a sufferer and needs compassion. He is to die and needs support and consolation. It is therefore a ground of unspeakable joy for man that God is not a being of mere justice, but that there is, mingled with His character, the attribute of mercy and kindness, and the fact that this mercy of God is everlasting. In all eternity, we shall never cease to enjoy the benefits of that mercy. Never. The response to God of those who would be blessed by Him, the response is guided by our attitude is guided by our knowledge of who He is, what He wants. He's the Creator, He's sovereign, He's good, His loving kindness is everlasting, His faithfulness is to all generations. What He wants is found in His Word. The response to God ought to be praise and thanks for God to bless us and to save us. So does blessedness seem to be a moving target for you? For me? Is that because you haven't obeyed or stayed obedient? Do you have less faith than you did when you started? Or is it more likely that you're not praising God enough? Why delay? Maybe you're not thankful enough. I can't think why. Are we withholding thanks from God in order to somehow manipulate Him to do what we want? Don't even try it. That's not possible. What about all our thanks, praise, love, adoration, singing to God? Does God need all that? I think it's there for us. It's something for us to do in order to make us better, to increase our faith. James 4:14, whereas ye know not what ye shall be on the morrow, what is your life? For ye are a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall both live and do this or that. Our lives come and go so quickly. It's up to us to praise the Lord. Our response should be to wholeheartedly shout joyfully to the Lord. Serve Him with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. And He'll welcome us to enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. If you have not been baptized in the name of Jesus, come into covenant relationship with God, you need to do that right away. Don't delay. And start giving Him that thanks, that praise, that adoration. If you strayed away and need the prayers of this congregation, let it be known. Let us help you, pray with you, or counsel with you in some way. And again, if you need to name the name of Christ for the first time, you baptize in His name, won't you please do so, as together we stand and sing.